is to be heard, but to hear what you would say.
Let me invite you this morning over to the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 13. Romans, chapter 4, verse 13. Romans, chapter 4, verse 13 reads this way. It says, "The promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of being in your house, and Lord, for knowing that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the very midst. And so, Lord, we pray for your blessing of the Holy Spirit this morning, that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, that you might edify our lives and strengthen our faith in the grace that you've given to us. And then, Lord, if anyone's here that does not have the full assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them as well, and may they see their need today, and may they receive the gift of eternal life. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is The Proper Place of Faith. The Proper Place of Faith. And that might be a little bit confusing, or maybe a little bit of a question concerning the name of the title there of the message, but we can place our faith in different things, can we not? We can place our faith in ourselves. That would be a problem. We can place our faith in another human being. Will they let you down in their lifetime? Will have people ever let you down? It's unfortunate, but it's true, right? Wait, hold on. Have you ever let anybody down? Have you ever disappointed anybody? And of course, the answer is yes. Why? Because we are imperfect individuals, but we have a holy and righteous God who created each and every one of us with a purpose to fellowship with him. Isn't that amazing? To be in his family and to have eternal life, and also to have a blessed life on this side of eternity, and yet to experience things that have never even entered into our mind that the Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us, that God has prepared for you and I to enjoy that have not even entered into our minds. So it works like this. Ready? Imagine if you could do something in a day and no expense should be spared. In other words, you had all the assets at your fingertips. What would you want to do for that day? Well, maybe you might want to eat at a nice restaurant in France, of all things, right? So the airplane's waiting. Wait, the helicopter's going to land in the parking lot, pick you up, whisk you out to the airport, fly you in a Learjet to France, and then you might spend some time there. Maybe you tour around Europe, or maybe you do something really exciting and crazy, like jump out of a plane with a parachute. You can keep that, all right? I don't want to do that. But anyway, if you could spend your day doing anything you could think of that you thought you would enjoy, all the good things, right, that you could enjoy, all the places that you could go to in a day, wouldn't that be something? Amen? Wouldn't you say, wow, I never would have thought I would be able to do all these things in one day? I want you to fathom this thought. God has things for you and I to enjoy that will never grow old, that will be fresh and exciting as that one day forever. Forever. Isn't that something? What God has in store, the Bible tells us, for those who love Him, what He has in store for us. So that's a wonderful thing. And so it would be a good idea to place our faith in the place that it was intended, the proper place, and that is in God Almighty. Because listen, God is the only one who is the author and who is not just a truth, because there's no such thing, there's only the truth, right? So the truth, and that's where God wants us to understand where all life comes from. And so in order to do that, we have to go back to Abraham, who is the father of faith, and consider the order of the promise of God. And so let's back up here just a little bit and look at Abraham, and let's see some of the things that God has done with Abraham. So notice this here in verse 9. He says, he's talking about this blessedness. He says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, those who are of the law, or upon the uncircumcision only? Where does this, does a blessing just apply to a certain group of people, or notice, or upon the uncircumcision also? Notice, for we say that faith was reckoned. This word reckoned, the word counted, the word imputed is a banking term that means to put to one's account. So if you and I are going to ever be found righteous in the sight of God, fathom this thought, it will never be by anything that you and I can do. It can only be by what the Son of God, the Messiah of all creation, the Savior of the world, came and did for you and I, and that was to pay for our sin debt. Amen. How did He do that? He was put upon a cross. He shed His blood, the perfect sacrifice, and gave His life for you and I, that we would not perish, but that we would have eternal life. And if you'll study the Word of God, you'll see it from the very beginning to the very end, it was all about the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us as a gift. It cost Him everything, but He gives you and I as a gift. He imputes to our account. He puts it into our account. Isn't that good? His righteousness, not our own. So it's an important term. Whenever you see these terms here, counted, reckoned, and imputed, it means to put to one's account. So that's what's happening here. Again, the bottom of verse 9, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. It was put unto his account. How was this reckoned? How was it put to his account? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? When he was following the rules of God, or before that ever took place? Notice what it says, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. You know, God does everything on purpose, with a purpose. Do you believe that? God does everything on purpose, with a purpose. It is no accident that you are here this morning. God is wanting to give you and I, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, more freedom than what we came in with. He wants us to walk out with more than what we started with today.
By the way, that's every day too. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants you to experience what life is really all about in accepting his son as your personal savior and having his righteousness imputed into your account, into your record throughout all eternity. Now, a lot of times people think, and I like that because a lot of times people think, well, you're not perfect. Well, whatever gave you a clue? You make mistakes. Praise God. Don't we all? Will you ever live a perfect life? No, not in our strength. God changes us. He does do a work in our lives, but I am dependent upon his righteousness for eternal life, not mine. My righteousness, listen, even as a saved child of God, if I try to do something for the Lord in my strength, because he says not by our strength, not by our might, but by God's might and strength. So if I try to do, I'm a saved child of God, and if you're here and you're a saved child of God, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, now, so if you love the Lord, and if you're saved, I believe you love the Lord, don't you want to do something for him just to say, thank you, God, for saving my soul? But here's the thing. Here's the truth. Ready? God wants us to do things for him, but not in our strength. Not in our righteousness. We can have the best of intentions and the best motives, and God doesn't want it. Because if we do something good for God, let's just say this. I'm going to be kind today. I'm going to be kind today. Well, have you ever thought about this? God may not want you to be kind. God may, listen, we laugh at that, but let's just say somebody naturally is a very passive individual and a very kind individual all the time, and they never raise their voice, and they're very kind. There are times when God wants us to speak for him. There are times that God wants to speak through us and say, listen, I'm sorry, I love you, but that is sin. That is wrong. And somebody with a passive spirit in themselves may not speak up at the very moment that God wants them to speak up. Do you remember when Peter and John were going in the hour of prayer to the house of God and there was the lame man there? And what if they were passive about that and he would say, oh, listen, I don't want to bother this man. You think he would have appreciated that? No, he said, listen, look on us, he says. He speaks up. And he looked because he supposed something was going to be given to him. Don't you remember? And what happens? Peter says to him, listen, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And Peter took him by the hand. That's not a passive movement. And lifted him up. If the Lord was not involved there, that man would have fell right back down. Where was Peter's confidence in what he could do or in what God could do? Do you see the difference? You will never with a passive spirit you will never hear the word of God because you don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to change somebody's life. Do you know that God put us into the world to be his light, that lives would be changed, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that the truth? Isn't that good? Was that man's life changed?
Amen.
What if Peter said, well, I don't know. I don't want to disturb him today. And then to top it all off, he goes into the house of God leaping and praising God. Was that not the case? And then the Judaizers were there and they were looking at him. And then they were looking at Peter, and then they were looking at him, and then they were looking at Peter, and Peter says, why are you looking at us? As if by our own power we have done this. But it was Jesus Christ, and then he says something very kind, whom you crucified. But then he tells them, there's salvation for you too. See, listen, when God pointed out my sin, it was a very humbling thing. It was a very frightening thing because I saw myself lost and undone. But it was also a very blessed thing because I saw that where the truth was at. So listen, if we're not careful, we try to do things in our righteousness and God says, oh no, listen, It begins and ends with the grace of God. And a lot of times why people are missing out on what God wants to do in and through us is because we're so big. Maybe we have missed that truth, and then we were looking for happiness somewhere else instead of the Lord. We start to look for happiness in what we can do or what people can do for us instead of who the creator of all life, what he could do for us and through us and wants to do. So as we consider this, we want to take notice of this promise. What was the order of this promise? And look what it says here in verse 10. How was it then reckoned? How was it put to his count? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Notice, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that what? That's why we call him Father Abraham. And notice this. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed, put to their account unto them also. Isn't that good? Amen. So God is not willing that any should perish, but he does want us to understand this, that everything that is given by God must be by his righteousness and his grace alone, and he puts it into our account. Now, isn't that the better way to do it? I mean, listen, that way requires no work from you and I. Would you be offended if somebody decided to put $20,000 into your bank account? Would that offend you? Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't that be easy? See, no. I'll do it myself. And that's what sometimes people misunderstand, and they think that listen, faith gets placed in the wrong place. And they think, listen, okay, God, you've saved me. I'll take it from here. Oh, no, we won't. No, we won't. How do you know, Brother George? Don't ask. Amen. I have fallen on my face trying to do things for God because I love him. And I have even gotten a little bit upset because things didn't go the way they should have gone in my mind. But may I tell you this? They went exactly the way God wanted them to go, because God is not trying to build up my confidence in myself. God is wanting to build up my confidence in his great grace. Amen. That's what's important. Do you think today faith might be placed in the wrong place? In the hearts and lives of God's people, but certainly in the hearts and lives of those who don't know the Lord. Why? Because they think that, oh, listen. Here's how much money I have, and if I just have this amount of money, I'm going to be happy. Amen? If I could just do this or that, achieve this or that, I'm going to be happy. What happens? They get there, and guess what they discover? It's just a little further away, isn't it? It's not right there. It's just a little further away. That's because we're looking for happiness in the wrong place. It is the proverbial carrot in front of the horse. That horse will never get to it in his own strength. The master must give it to him. Amen? And likewise, in your life and mine, God must be the giver of all good gifts. And so, look here, right here, it says, in verse 12, it says, so, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of, notice, that faith, it's a specific faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Can you imagine that? The father of the Hebrews, there was a time and place in his life when he was not in the covenant of God. Isn't that something? You know why? Listen, because it's not in the covenant, it's in the Lord. The covenant reveals what God has already done in our lives. So when we follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, we are professing that we are in Christ, we are already redeemed. We do not get baptized for the purpose of going to heaven, or for the purpose of washing away our sins. You'll not find that in the Word of God. But it's a good conscience toward God of what he's already done in our lives. Isn't that good? Amen. Do you know that kind of faith, that faith placed in the right place, which is in God, gives rest? It's the easy faith. Listen, it's our nature, unfortunately, to try to justify ourselves. will miss God every time. And so notice what's happening here, what he says here in verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And listen, you can interchange that word faith, because we think it's something, with the word trust. It is something that we do, but because of what was done for us. I place my trust in somebody else because they have proven themselves. So you take a childlike faith, right? You take a small child. I remember a little girl, my pastor's daughter, years ago, and I was probably about 27, 28 years old. I probably would never attempt this now. She was 5 years old, and they had a dumpster back there in between. They had a softball field right in between the church and the parsonage there. And there was a way for her to climb up on the top, and she was up there watching the softball game. And I said, "Jump, and I'll catch you." And she said, she kind of paused there and kind of stopped and looked at me and looked at the ground and looked at me. And she kind of just a little jump. You know what happened? She liked that. I didn't know she was going to like that. She climbed right back up there, and she jumped a little bit more assured. And then before long, listen, she was just running in circles and leaping higher and jumping higher. And I was getting worried. I was catching her and making sure that I didn't drop her. Why? Because she had gained trust in me, but not in herself, or she would have fallen. And likewise in our lives, God wants us to place our faith or our trust where? In him, not in ourselves. Now stop and let that sink in, because it is our nature to trust ourselves, because we will discipline ourselves to do this, that, and the other, and we'll forget about trusting God. So what goes on here? Look at verse 14. For if they that are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, trust is not needed, and the promise made of none effect. We're not trusting in God. Because the law worketh wrath. Why? Because the law causes us to look to ourselves, not God. The law causes us to look to what we do. Isn't that the truth? You've heard this before. If you're to ask somebody that does not know the Lord as their Savior, and you ask them, how do you get to heaven? They're going to put the proverbial scale out there, aren't they? And what is that all about? Them, not God. My good and my bad. Isn't that the case? What I do, good or bad. Where's God? Nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. Now, that's not a license to sin, because the Spirit of God, when we see the holiness of God, humbles us. When we see the grace of God in our lives, causes us to say, as the psalmist said, who am I, Lord, that you would do that for me? Wouldn't that be humbling when somebody puts something into your account? Why? Wouldn't you ask why? And so God put his righteousness to our account forevermore. And can't we say, why, God? Why did you do that? You know what the answer is? We know what the answer is. For God so what? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, I do things for my kids. Why? Love? Love. Love. Do they always please me? They're human beings. I want you to know that. Do they always please me? Did I always please my mother and father? No. No. But they did it anyway, right? Not because I deserved it, but because they what? Loved me. Do you know that God loves his own more than we love our own? For a righteous man, for a family member, we would die for. How about for an enemy? Do you know the Bible says that Christ Jesus died for you and I while we were at enmity? We were his enemies. We weren't thinking about him. We were thinking about ourselves. And God took our place. And we lived life for ourselves, what we think, what we wanted to do, what pleased me, and we weren't really thinking about him at all. What I wanted, Lord, We were looking today in Sunday school class about the Israelites. They were freed from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, were they not? It was a picture of the Lord. And they get out there after God's been taking care of them and giving them the word, the commandments of God, and they get down there and all of a sudden they make this molten golden calf, this image here. And they begin to do things that were ungodly. Why? Who were they thinking about? Were they thinking about God or themselves? They compromised the love of God. Why did they do that? Not because they were thinking about God. They completely misunderstood the Lord, didn't they? And it's an interesting statement that Moses makes towards Aaron. What did the people do to you that you have done this to them? What did the people do to you? And the truth is, they didn't do anything. His heart, unfortunately, was in the same place of agreement. And he led them down a path. And you remember his excuse when he was explaining to Moses, I don't know what happened, you know, all of a sudden this gold went in and out came this calf. Brilliant explanation. No, it wasn't. No more brilliant than what we say to God when we tell him our excuses for compromising what we know. Somehow they convinced themselves what they were doing was all right when they clearly knew that it was not. They compromised. They begin to look at it. They begin to squint their eyes and see if maybe I can just make that somehow work. And it didn't work for them, did it? It separated them. And did they receive the blessing of God or did they receive the wrath of God? And why the wrath? Because God chastens those whom he loves. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And he's talking to the child of God. Does it apply to the world? Yeah, it does. Listen, but judgment begins where? At the house of God. At the house of God. Because God loves us. And he does not want us to do that. We fool ourselves. We kid ourselves. And then what happens is we callous our hearts. As we continue to push forward into that place and we stop, we don't hear the word of God anymore. We don't hear the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. We are so full of who? Ourselves. That we can't hear God anymore. And we start excusing ourselves and justifying ourselves and we're all full of who? Ourselves. And nothing of God. And all of a sudden we're not even sensitive anymore. Because the Spirit of God is a still small voice that speaks to us. Because God loves us, he will not infiltrate or force himself into your life or mine. So verse 15, we look at it, it says, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Listen to that, listen. God didn't give us the law, he gave us his love. Is that the truth? There's no transgression if we're walking, listen, if we're walking in God's love, we'll be in his light. And so as we do that, we ought to be able to look at our own lives and see if the love of God is prominent in our lives. Because if it's not, then maybe we've missed something here and we've placed our faith in the wrong place. Look at the right kind of faith. Verse 16, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace. Listen, in the grace of God, in the working of God, to the end, listen, anywhere in between, there's never a time for there to be a lack of the grace of God in our faith. In other words, everything that we do for the Lord must be by the grace of God and his working in us. So, therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end. Notice this, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, so both are included, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And by the way, before the law, the Hebrew people started in Abraham where the promised seed would come from. And it was before the law. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Listen to that. Do you not see that God included every nation in Abraham? Isn't that something? God never said, he had a chosen people and he still does, but you and I have entered into that same place because we are of the seed of the faith of Abraham. Amen. As a saved child of God. Isn't that great? God put everybody together. So he says, verse 17, as is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who that's where he trusted, who quickened the dead. Did you see the work that God did? He made alive that which was dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. That's how he sees you and I. Listen, listen. As a saved child of God, you are a joint heir. That's how God sees you and I, of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a child of the King of Kings. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Verse 18. This is the right kind of faith. It is faith is coupled with the grace of God. Faith is in the Word of God. Faith is against hope in ourselves. And we'll see that here in verse 18. And faith is in the promise of God. So look at this. Faith in the Word of God in verse 17, as is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. It's written before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead. This is the work of God, and this is coming from the Word of God. And then look at verse 18, faith against hope in ourselves. Who against hope believed in hope? Listen, so God is saying here that Abraham believed in the promise of God. And what was the promise of God? It's going to be through your seed. You're going to have a son. Didn't he promise that to Abraham? And Abraham looked at himself and he said, can't happen. So what did he have to do? He had to deny what he felt and what he thought and not trust in himself and what he could do. Remember what they did? Sarah and Abraham with Hagar? Wonderful job, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. But that's what we do. We produce Ishmaels. God wants an Isaac. And so after they couldn't do it anymore, after there was no more hope in their own physical strength, God produces a son. Listen, many times we think this is all wrong. You don't know what's going on in my life. You know what God's trying to do? Get us to stop looking to ourselves. If you'll see all the things that God allows into your life and mine, it's to cause us to give up on the flesh. And to allow it to be crucified. And to allow us to just say, I trust you, God, in this. Stop squirming and kicking and trying to get out of your situation because you're just going to go from the pan into the fire. Is that how it works? From the frying pan into the fire? Is that how it works? We don't want to do that. But we have done that, haven't we? I can look at my life and I'm thinking, bless God. That's not right. I'll take care of that. And boy, howdy did I. What a mess I made. And what grace I missed. And yet through it all, may I tell you this? Even in my misunderstanding, God was patient with me and long-suffering. That's why I like Peter. Lord, though all forsake you, I'll do it. He was the first one that fell flat on his face. I've experienced that too. But I've also experienced this one. Go tell my disciples, and Peter also. Go tell my disciples, and go get Peter too. Amen? Put your name there, because he does it for us. So he does not want us to put hope in ourselves. He wasn't able to work in him until he saw he couldn't do it. You may not even realize it. God's waiting for that in your life and mine. Until we can come to the place that we're not going to swing it. Amen? We're not going to manufacture it. God, I need you to do it. Very quickly. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he was so in physical strength, he considered not his own body now what? Dead. Listen, when Jesus said we've got to die to self, that means we have to stop putting faith in ourselves. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, there is no strength in themselves. They finally, listen, got their eyes off of themselves, and God started with them with Abraham some 25 years before. Verse 20, he staggered not. when they were dead, now they were able to look to the promises of God. Why? There was nowhere else to look. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Did you see that? Did Abraham have his faith in the proper place? It took him a little while to get there. And was God finished with him when Ishmael popped up? He wasn't finished with him. Is God finished with you and I? Nope. He's working with us all the way to the end. Why? Because we're in his hand. Oh, wait a minute. Is there anything in my hand? You see my hand, right? Is there anything in my hand? I'm going to trick you. I'm going to tell you in advance. Yes, there is something in my hand. There is something in my hand. Ah, you picked up on it. There's bones in my hand. Can you get them out? Not by shaking, right? You'd have to cut my hand off to get the stuff out of my hands. And nobody's going to do that to God. There's blood vessels in my hand. Amen? Because Christ said, I'm in you and you're in me. Makes sense now, doesn't it? We think we're in God's hands. Now you say, there's a pen in your hand. Oh, that's too physical, amen? It's more than that when we're in him and he's in us. The right persuasion, this is the last thought. Look at verse 21. And being fully persuaded, how about you? Are you fully persuaded? That's the right persuasion. That what he had promised, he was also, past tense, able to perform. And therefore it was, look at that, imputed. There's that banking term, put to his account. To him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed again. God wants to make sure that we understand it's put to our account. To him. But for us also it was imputed to our account. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That is the proper place of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it possible for a child of God, saved child of God, promised, believed in the promise and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection, believe in all of that and yet is living a life of defeat because their faith is not in the proper place? Could that possibly be the case? Was there ever a time, we'll pick on Peter again, that Peter did not have his faith in the proper place where he misunderstood God? Let me give you an amazing place that Peter was in the very presence of God when Jesus was transfigured and Elijah and Moses show up and Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make a tent. And what happened? A voice came over and Peter was afraid. And the voice said, this is my son, listen to him. You know what he was saying? Stop coming up with your own ideas. We've got the plan already. I don't need your help. Wouldn't that be Leonardo da Vinci? An artist, right? If I lived in his day, do you think he would appreciate me on one of his masterpieces, picking up another brush and helping him out? Now, we laugh at that. But how much do we do that to God? God gets us up 30,000 feet in the air through salvation. And we say, Lord, I got it from here, and step out the door. Where are we going to go? We're going to fall flat on our face. And God says, that's only because you have placed your faith in the wrong place. You got it for salvation. If it begun by the grace of God, how will it end? Didn't Paul talk to the Galatians? Who's bewitched you? Who's cast a spell on you? You started out by faith. You're going to end now in the flesh? And he says, oh, foolish Galatians, why? Why? And we need to look in the mirror and say, oh, God, may I never approach you in my strength, but by yours alone. beginning with salvation, but then for life, God's life in us every day. God gives us an opportunity at this time. And the invitation, God, may I not walk in my strength. May you help me to see clearly, to walk in yours. Would you stand? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for the truths you reveal to us. And Lord, I pray that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and minds. And Lord, that you might guide us into your truths and to surrender, Lord, our will and our ways for yours, that you might simply impute or place into our account your righteousness and your grace and your mercy. And may we live, breathe, and walk in that place that you have created for us. And in that way, we will be the witnesses every day of your grace and your love to our families, to our church family, and to the whole world. Bless, Lord. And if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you help them see that need and to trust you even today. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.